Hello, angels, and welcome back to the Money Mindset Mansion podcast. Today, we have a very, if not the most, special guest on the Money Mindset Mansion podcast. You guys know her. I refer her all of the time. She is my mentor, the woman who has changed my life in the shortest amount of time. She inspires me every day. I thank her every day. I'm literally writing in my journal, grateful for her every single freaking day. I attest manifesting most things in my life with her support of helping me heal. I feel just like so honored to be in her energy and to be her client. And I want to bring her on the podcast to share her wisdom, to share her beautiful energy, to share her light. And this interview is so good, you guys. Like, she did not hold back, and I am gonna re-listen to this episode like 4 or 5 times. That's how much I love this episode. It just hit where it needed to hit, and you guys are gonna know what I mean. So I'm gonna leave all the details for Dr. Taiki below, how you can follow her, connect with her, be in her energy, because she's truly the most magical being, and I'm thankful for her every single day. Okay, let's get into this week's episode. I really hope you guys enjoy it. Don't forget to send it to someone who might need it. And if you share it to your stories, we would love to repost you. Mwah! Enjoy! All right, everyone. Welcome back to another episode. This is the most exciting guest I think I could ever have coming on the podcast. I could not be more excited. Everyone on this podcast knows who Dr. Taiki is because I think I reference her in every single episode. And she is the number one woman who has changed my life in the most profound way. Even today, I had such a realization of this. And so it's just timely and so timely that Dr. Taiki is on the podcast today. I'm so honored. I'm so grateful. So thank you so much for being here, Dr. Taiki. And let's hop right in. So I would love for you to share with us, what was your spiritual journey? What was your, I kind of call it like the hero's journey to becoming the absolute goddess that you are? Where did it start and how did we get to where you are today? I am like dying to actually hear this entire story because I don't even think I know the whole thing.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. If people have ever heard my story, I talk a lot about my health story, meaning that I had PCOS as a teenager, and my options back then was, we tried everything, let's do, we can't have you literally have a cyst burst every other period. I've had 2 international planes land because of that. So they were like, okay, maybe we tried everything. Let's remove your right ovary. And I was like, I can't do that. I'm like literally a teenager. Like I'm 19 years old. I'm not going to have my right ovary removed. And that's how it got me to move from like the medical model to the naturopathic model and like more of the holistic approach, which is like my training. This is what I do. I'm a naturopathic doctor. But truly, like, to think about like my hero's journey, because that could have stopped there, right? Like I could have just stopped there and not moving to the next phase. And I think the next phase for me is probably this idea. I did have what we will call like a difficult childhood. And I spent so much time in therapy or all of these things feeding the idea that I was a victim. I think these things happened to my in my childhood, and because my parents are the way they are, because I felt this way in my childhood, blah, 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 blah. Therefore, I am who I am today. And there is a lot of truth in that, but it reached a point that I was so stuck, meaning I was just like something about my own soul was just so pained in this idea, like, why? Why? Like, why me? Why? And my best friend has one of the most amazing childhoods. I'm like, why me? Like, what is going on that happened that she, and I am very blessed, I was able to witness that through her, that there are families that are not fighting every day. There are families when kids do feel safe. But it was breaking me from the inside to think that I was not chosen. It's just my bad luck. It's just I was born into shitty circumstances. And I think when I got fed up of that, like when I got fed up of my own shit, can we curse here? Is that okay?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. So, So when I got tired of my own shit, and quite frankly, I tried every single destructive method to stop the pain of that. And when I got sick of it, and another thing is like, it just wasn't my time, I ran out of options. I'm like, okay, I gotta check all of the things to stop this pain. And now what is my decision? I think when I had that moment of say, what is my decision? I'm like, oh, wait, I could be in charge. Maybe there's something different. And I think the moment, just the moment I asked that question, you start communicating with the universe, and the universe like, oh, she is ready to hear other things. And you start stumbling into post. And I think what the very first thing I saw was, it's not happening to you, it's happening for you. And I remember when I read that first, I was so pissed. I was like, what do you mean? You mean this and this and this and this happened for me? You mean I chose this? You mean I chose to be? So I remember by the way it triggered me, I was aware enough to be like, ooh, if it's making me so angry, there is something there. So it's that's how I kind of like went deeper into my own journey. And so there is that part of it. And I think the biggest thing that I drive home with everyone is that you are powerful. You are like, I'm so into the power of the feminine, the power of the feminine, the power of the feminine, because I come from a state of very much victimhood. So I started reverse engineering, understanding, okay, this is happening for me. And I like this idea better than to me. So let's see where is this coming from. And that's how I started like connecting the dots, almost looking backward, and it started making sense. And I started like, listen, you're not always not chosen. There was moments that you literally could have ended up dead and you didn't. So you are chosen, you are supported, you are protected. And it's through that process that I kind of like started doing my own spiritual journey. And at the same time, even as a child, everyone thought I was going to be a therapist. Like when I wanted to go to medical school, they were like, it made sense, like my parents are and all of that. Like I was in the medical field. But I started even liking this idea when I talked to my friends or all of the things that like I was the therapist of the group. I like the idea of starting telling them, hey, maybe this and this happened for you. Maybe this breakup wasn't to break your heart, maybe to teach you something. And I started even seeing how does that shifting by stepping people into their power versus putting them into, yes, he's so shitty. And yes, we can still say that he's so shitty, but he's here to teach you something. And I start seeing that change in people around me as well. And I think that is what I would consider my spiritual awakening, is that shift. From I'm a victim, this is happening for me, and I'm just waiting for my expiration date to happen. And it was just a waste of a lifetime that I don't know why I came in here to suffer, versus, wait a second, no, I chose all of it, and there was a reason behind it. And I may not have all the data right now, today, as a 22 years old brain, but I can feel it. And I think my biggest thing is I always had that sense of knowing. So, and that almost was been always my why. It's like, I know, and I couldn't explain it, but like I would go towards thing and no one around me would make sense. I'm like, as long as I know, it always worked out, and it was true. And I felt like helping people connect to their know, to their true being, like literally started being this like dopamine, like, oh my God, this is amazing. I could feel my soul bring literally brought back to life from a decade of trying to squash it and kill it and silence it. So my hero's journey was really about being brought back to life through this idea that I am a powerful being, and I am here for a reason, and I am important, and I want to be here. I think that's the biggest thing for me too, is that I want to be here, because I kicked and screamed as long as I could why I'm here. I didn't choose to be here. I'm like, no, honey, you did. And now I can look back and be like, okay, I can see why.
Wow. I mean, we've been working together for so long and I didn't know any of that. Like, wow. I resonate with so many things that you said. I remember the first time I heard it's not happening to you, it's happening for you. I was also so pissed. I was like, how dare you? You don't know what I've been through, blah, blah, blah. Like, my ego hated that. But I completely agree with this, like, mantra or lens. It allows you to see life in such a more powerful way. Like everything you said, I completely agree with. And this sentence has literally saved me. So I'm so happy you brought that up because it has been the most profound shift for me. And Okay, so what I actually want to know is, so you had this newfound awareness, and then your 22 brain was like, okay, I feel powerful. So then what led you on the journey? Because I know you went to naturopathic med through math naturopathic medicine, but I feel like now you're so much more than that. You're when people are like, what is Dr. Teki? I'm like, I don't even know how to, it's like you're everything. So what brought you to this spiritual journey? Because that's a lot different than naturopathic medicine.
Absolutely. So what brought me into the spiritual, so if you know me, I'm obsessed with the root cause, obsessed with the root cause. And if my dad was still with us today, if you ask him what was the most annoying question I had as a child was why? 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 I wants to always, like, just like Marley's favorite question is how. My favorite question used to be why. So one of what fascinated me about naturopathic school, coming from a medical model, is I'm getting the answer to the why. Because in the medical model, a lot of things were used to be like, we don't know why. We don't know why. We don't know why cancer happened. We don't know why you have fungus. We don't know why you have X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, it doesn't make sense. Like it didn't make sense, and it frustrated me. So it's like my answer to the why that kept on getting me deeper. And I think my process was at the beginning, let's use a virus, for example, because everyone would understand that. I would start seeing, like, with people that would get sick, let's say with the medical model, they would say, oh, we don't know why your thyroid is off. We don't know why. Like, your thyroid numbers are off. We don't know why. Maybe it's genetic. Maybe we don't know why. And in my head, it's like, what? Why though? Like, why is one woman having it at 42 and another one having it at 27? Like, what is going on? And then I get to the medical, to the naturopathic model, and they start giving me answer. Like, oh, it could be a virus. It could be a parasite. It could be a chemical. And for that, it helped. Like, it satisfied that answer for me for a short time. But then I started being that annoying 3 years old again and being like, but why? Why is this woman getting, like, why is this virus causing a thyroid issue in this woman, but not in this woman? Why is this parasite causing endometriosis in this woman, but not in this woman? Like, why is this person have parasite too, but I'm working on their liver? And I'm like, maybe there is something else. And that's when I remember, backtracking a little bit, I remember when I started learning a little bit about meditating, and I had a very busy brain. So meditating was like torture to me. Sitting down and meditating was like literal torture, until I found something called guided meditations, which I never heard about before, which sounds silly now with all of the YouTube and all the things. But like back then, I was like, I don't know what guided meditation is. I'm like, oh, I could focus on someone's voice. But then when I started learning that, and I started listening, and they would say, oh, and you're going into your second chakra. I'm like, oh, what is that? And I started learning about chakras. And then it gave me answer. I'm like, oh, there is an energetic thing behind the organ. So there is an energy behind that gallbladder. There is an energy behind that thyroid. And that would explain why a virus would use that as a weak link, because it is energetically, literally weaker. So that kind of forced me, not forced me, but like intrigued me, and it got my attention enough to keep on wanting to understand the why. And I think that's it. Backtracked to one of my very first thing I did was inner child, because the moment I understand chakra, I was like, oh, so the inner child work would explain where you would have the weakness. You would not heard, you would not seen. Though, so depending on where you didn't get a need met, you're gonna have a weakness in that area. And again, being the annoying person that I am, I'd be like, well, why is that happening in this child and not this child? And that's how I got to the soul wound. So it's really, for me, was just a journey again to reverse engineering, like peeling back the layer to getting a satisfactory answer to that why. That's how I got from like naturopathic, from medical to naturopathic, to more of like truly what I call like really holistic, like with a W, like whole, like all the four bodies, the mental, the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual.
Okay, as you're saying this, this is so fascinating to me, and I want to hear what your thoughts are on this. So when, like, my lens is business, right? And I have a theory that you cannot change the results of your business if you don't change the energy behind your business, right? And what's sounding like to me, what you're saying is that you can't heal the external if you don't heal the energy behind the wound, right? So would you say that, like, at the end of the day, everything that we want to change in our current reality, behind everything is just changing the energy of it? Or how would you explain that?
Absolutely. I think one, I mean, for my business like motto is it starts within you, like with, and I do with parentheses, IN. So it's like with and within you, like, and it starts not just healing. Money starts with and within you. Love starts with and within you. And health starts when and within you. Like everything you want, this it that you're going after happens within and within you. Like it's not going to happen external. And I've used this analogy over and over and over and again, and I'm going to share a couple of them with your audience because I think it's so important. If I print something out and there is a typo in here, me using a wipe out to fix that is not going to change the fact that when I print another copy, there's going to be a typo in it. You can keep on changing things here. It's never going to be permanent. You're going to have to go to the hard drive and change that. And one step deeper, you want to actually go to the one who is typing and teach them how to type so they stop making the typo. So that to me will be those three layers. The layer of the hard copy will be the physical, the 3D, your business, your love life, your health. The hard drive will be the emotion driving it or the belief behind it. And me typing it will be the energy driving that belief, the energy that's driving that belief that's turning into reality. So you do need those three layers. And I think we spoke about that a lot, you and I, is the mind is great, but you want to go one layer deeper with the energy that's even still fueling that belief. Because the belief would not stay around if it's not being fueled. It's impossible. Like it doesn't matter how hammered we hammered like a belief in your mind. If there is not a fuel behind it, it would not stick. It would like the more, that's why so many things will just happen and it happens in our session. You get that aha moment and you let go of that fuel and then the belief just shifts. So those to me is like the same thing. It's like that reflection. If you are looking, that's my second analogy, if you are watching, like staring at your face in a mirror and there is a smudge in your face, you can't clean it in the mirror. Like your wrist is going to get tired trying to like wipe it in the mirror. If you have a smidge of makeup on your face, you have to come to your face and clean it on your face. And more importantly, again, let's teach that person how to apply makeup. So not every single time they are putting that in, they are making that mistake of overlining their lips or anything like that.
I'm so happy we're talking about this. This is so timely for me right now. So I want to hear from your perspective. See, this is why I like podcasting because I get to know the how. So from your perspective, let's say we are aware of a reality that is a pattern or just something that we no longer want to continue in your life. For your perspective, what do you do for yourself to clear that energy so it no longer is fueling the belief? Like, what is your manifestation process to clearing that energy?
So I love that you've verbed it like, well, what is the process? My process, if we listen to the last 20 minutes, is all about reverse engineering. So I always go from that point. Let's see what's behind it. So when I have a trigger, and I love triggers, so I am that crazy person. It's like, oh, I'm triggered. Amazing. It means there is a wound right behind it, and I get an opportunity to heal it. And even in the visits, like I'm so excited why my patients are triggered because I'm like, I know we're so close to heal it. So when I'm triggered, when there is a belief, when there is a situation, I'm like, oh my God, why is this not changing? Or why I'm having a hard time, like resin like aligning with this, that's not even manifesting, like just aligning with this thing. Like, what is going on? What is I want to know what is why. Is what is the step between me and that thing? So going back to the why. And what I found, and that I have a 9-step process for this, but like what I found is there is always holding on to something because it protects us. Always. So let's use the example for your audience. Let's say I don't want to make, I cannot go over 22,000 a month and I want to reach 25K. Like that's my goal. But like every single time, like it's ridiculously close, right? It's like 23, 23 and a half. And you're like, oh my God, like why am can I can manifest the whole 23,000, but I cannot get to the 25. And I want to, and so that's when we like, what would happen? What are you scared of? What are you trying to protect yourself if you reach that 25 monthly? What would that mean to you? What that represent to you? Does it represent freedom? Does it represent abundance? Does it represent not working? Does it represent things with coming with ease? And when I journal about it and there's an answer that like makes me feel something, I will dive deeper around it. And then when I go dive deeper, my second question. So the first question is, what is this? What is this going to make me feel? So what is the final, if I get this, what would happen? So when I get this, what would happen? When I know what would happen, I need to find out what is, why about these things I want freedom is scary to me. Because again, we're all, the mind is all about survival and protection. We're trying to avoid pain. So even it sounds silly, but like, oh, freedom or 25K, like that should be something that I'm not 100% not scared of, but there it would be something. What would that represent? This freedom, this safety, this abundance is feels to me in my body, feels scary. And I want to understand why it feels scary. So that's what we will go into. Where did it come from? Is it your childhood, a past life? Why are you trying to protect yourself? Why is this sense of safety or this sense of ease is scary to you? What does it mean? And if like for someone like they are scared of ease, probably they only saw that you can only get things the hard way. That's how they stay. That's how they stick. So you will be very scared of things that come very easily because what if they don't stay? Easy, almost like easy come, easy go type of thing. So that will be something that we will work into clearing. So if for me, I'll be like, okay, now I see what my hidden, what I call the hidden advantage. Now I see what is my hidden advantage of staying at 23K because it gives me the illusion that I don't have the abundance yet. Because abundance may mean in a couple, like if a woman makes more, my husband will be threatened. Like we can find so many different, like, beliefs behind it, but you want to know why staying away from your what you want to do, like you're not aligning with it purposely. What are you trying to protect yourself from? What is this thing that you want is actually on a subconscious level feels like a threat to you. So once you find why, how is it a threat? You want to understand what is the hidden advantage. And then the third step, which sometimes is missed, is also telling them, no, actually, the step that's missed is a hidden advantage. Because a lot of people would jump directly into, but look how much it would cost you. Look at all of the things that you will get if you will have 25K. But the brain is not going to let go of something that has an advantage. We need to debunk the advantage. But that's not, that wasn't really an advantage. Because look at how much it's costing you. And that's usually when I get the aha moment, when people are like, oh, this whole time I thought I was protecting myself and I felt comfortable, but now that feels shitty. And that's when usually the patient get mad or grieve or like, and that's when you are releasing. So for me, that's when I'm like, okay, that's when I feel that shift. That's when I know that I've released it. So the other thing that I would do is probably like do a meditation or do something to actually also help move the energy behind it in my body to always address again those four bodies. You want to address the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual.
This is so good. So after, so wait, just to clarify, after you find the hidden advantage, what was the step after that, or is that the meditation?
The step after that is actually finding how that what you thought was a hidden advantage actually was not an advantage at all. You can start now
Right.
looking at all of the disadvantages to it to actually mind make the mind shift from this is safety to this is not safety. Look how much it's costing me. I don't want that. Like the mind is not going to want that. It's pretty logical, believe it or not. It just need to be giving the right reasons, basically.
Okay, so I want to share something with you. I did this exact process today. Weirdly enough, we've never talked about this, and I did this today. Okay, so I just want to share this with the audience. It's like a real life example. So I have a certain amount of money that I want to hit per month, and I've noticed I'm not hitting it. So I'm like, there must be a secret advantage here. So I was journaling, 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 and I realized that to hit this monthly goal, I felt like it would push people away. It would push my partner away. It would push people in my life away. So I did my limiting belief clearing, which is in the app, and I went back in my subconscious, was like, okay, why, where is this belief coming from? And I realized, this is strange, but nothing has to make sense. But when I was 2 months in the womb, my dad, I think, started making money. And that took him away from our family. So because he was earning more and he worked in the restaurant business, that meant he was literally gone all the time. So what I thought, and what made sense for me is that to earn more money, you lose the people that you love. And so my hidden advantage was by not earning more, then I won't lose the people that I love. So then I went through the process of, okay, this is why that's not true. He was in a completely different business model. And actually, the more I make, the more freedom I have. And I like went through all of that and literally completely changed, like the relief that I felt of like, oh my gosh, without this belief, what is possible? So this is such incredible advice. And I love the synchronicity of us talking about this today. And this is going to help so many people. Okay, I want to pivot quickly to another question. And I get this question so often, and I also ask you this question so often. So, something that you have taught me and has profoundly changed my life that is whatever is meant for me will never pass me. And with someone who has a lot of trauma around loss and fear of abandonment, instilling this belief has been like a journey, as you know. And so, from your perspective, I know myself and so many people are afraid of when they make that $10,000 a month that they will lose it, or when they hit that final goal, they will lose it, or when they finally manifest their partner that they will lose it. So, what is your perspective on this, and why should people actually not fear losing things that are meant for them?
So I again going back to analogies, I the first two things when you start talking this I thought about is let's go back to how I perceive the soul. Like going back to we chose to be here and this is everything happening for me. So I'm gonna go back to I chose to be here. Meaning that I chose to be here, but also chose my journey. So the way I look at our experience in life is as if you were as a soul, you're like, I'm a little bored. Let me go back to Earth. And you almost look at it as a trip. So, and you look at a trip and you look at everything that you've learned before and everything that you've done. So yeah, let's use this analogy of like going to, you've never been to Aruba. You have free time and you are sitting in Canada, the US, whatever you are, and you're like, okay, I want to go to Aruba. I've never been. And then you look at like what you've done before when you were going to the Caribbean. I'm like, oh, I never got a chance to scuba dive. I never got a chance to go into like rock climbing, whatever it is. So you're working with your little travel agency and you're picking every single experience. It's you pick it, you chose it, it's part of the package. You are gonna do those things. It's gonna happen. No, like this is what you picked in the all-inclusive for whatever long you're gonna be there. You chose your return date, you know how long you're staying, all of these things. The kicker is you and you are traveling with few people. So you like blend it with friends and family and your group that you're traveling with. And when you're asking about travel agencies, like, oh, but I don't know how to scuba dive. Like, don't worry, there is someone who's gonna help you with scuba diving. This is the best scuba diving instructor, blah, 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 blah. And the moment right before you get into the plane, they're like, oh, wait, but there is a kicker. You're like, what is it? They're like, you're gonna forget that you picked all of this. So you're gonna land in Aruba and forget that you picked all of that. And you go, okay, but I don't see why it would be a problem since I picked it. Like it's driven by me, by my own desire. I picked this. So then they like, what if I feel alone? Like you, but I'm gonna travel with all these people. They're like, no. You're also gonna forget that these people are part of your family and your friends. I'm like, well, that's gonna feel lonely. I'm like, but don't worry. You come, you're a soul. You're gonna be in Aruba, but you still speak the language of English. You are going to be able to communicate, but I don't speak Spanish really well. Don't worry. You are already in you know those people. That's why the first sense to me is intuition. We put a compass in you. You're not going without no instruction. You have a GPS that's going, you're naturally going to be pulled towards certain things and towards certain people. And as long as you trust the GPS, you're always going to be guided to the next activity, to the next person. And you can't go wrong. It is the plan. It's literally your itinerary in Aruba. So you get into Aruba. And what we start doing as humans, like you wake up in the morning and you feel like you want to go witch hunting, I'm making things up. Like you're gonna go and do potion magic. That's what you chose. And as in your way to potion magic, you see Marley, who is tanning, and you go, ooh, but she's not doing anything. Why is she tanning? And I have to go to do the potion thing. And then they're like, well, because she decided today that she is going to be tanning. That's her part of her itinerary. But we don't trust that because we forgot that we chose it. So we're like, oh, I don't understand. Everything comes easy to her. Look at her just standing there. And I have a whole day that's super busy. And this is so annoying, blah, 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 blah. You go getting closer to your activity. And someone goes, where are you going? And you go, witch hunting. Like, huh, potion making, witch stuff? Ooh, that's like weird. And you're like, oh, is it weird though? And it's like questioning those thoughts. That's the conditioning. That is the conditioning. People telling you that as a child, what you are attracted to is weird, is not normal. But you have an inner compass that is no matter what you do, you're gonna end up in that class. No matter what you do, you're gonna end up, and there is pro you're gonna end up rock climbing or scuba diving. And we get to kick and scream and not trust the process. And there is a lot of learning lessons. Sometimes, like, oh, well, you're not gonna scuba dive today. You have to get trained first. And then you're like, oh, it's not meant for me. You see, I told you it wasn't meant for me. I tried to do it once, and then I get in there, and then I suffocated because the thing was not. That is us forgetting that we are going, that we plan these things, and there is no, it doesn't matter. You are going to graduate as scuba diving because it's part of your itinerary. You are going to meet these people because you traveled with them, literally. You traveled with them. If you are meant to meet a guy in the painting or cooking lesson, you will because both of you signed up for that class. And you can be crying until midnight the night before, but you picked that class together before, like at before coming to Aruba. So these are the things I want to tell people is that you chose these things. That thing that you want, that person that you want, you decided together that you're gonna meet at that class and how many activities you can do together. And there is nothing you can change about that because you chose this as a soul level. The other analogy I give people was I call about, I just speak about birthright a lot. This is your birthright. This is your birthright. This is your birthright for me is that this is something, it's a right that you did before traveling. It's your birthright. This is something that's given to you the moment you land in Aruba, you have everything planned. The moment you enter Aruba, there's nothing for you to do to get those things. The only way to know if you're going to get something is do you have the desire for it? The same way you were attracted to that making potion class is because something in you knows it picked it before. What you seek is seeking you, and it's never going to pass you by. So going back to the birthright, it's like having a deed to a house, having a title to a house, having an inheritance. It has your name on it. There is nothing you can do. You can kick and scream and all of the things. At the end of the day, once you go to the Secretary of State and you're shown, you may need to do some paperwork. You may need to show your ID, but it is yours. And it's the same thing I want to tell people. There are things, there is no way. Same thing again. I can use a third analogy, the GPS. If you put a destination in your GPS, you are going to make it. You may take longer roads, you may get lost, you can do all of the things, but the destination is still the same. And you may be lost in a ditch and kicking and screaming, I'm never gonna make it, I'm never gonna make it. The GPS will recalculate. It will recalculate, and you are going to make it there.
I was getting so many chills, and like my eyes were basically bulging out of my head as you were saying that. That was so good. So, my follow-up question to that then is, let's say someone has a desire to become an entrepreneur, okay? And they feel so this is one of their all-inclusive packages in Aruba is like, ooh, they're gonna become an entrepreneur. They have the desire, they feel the nudge, they feel the pull, but they feel like every single time they try, it doesn't work. Like they're getting really caught up in the maybe comparison or fear or the conditioning. What advice would you give to someone who has a desire for something, but in the 3D reality, it's not looking like it's working out and they want to give up?
Okay. I love that question because I gave, when I was talking about the Aruba example, is understand that usually those fear and all of these things came from that conditioning. If you were told the first day you were going to potion school that it was weird or you're not meant for it, or you're not, I was like, you, a witch? Who do you think you are? Imagine someone said that to you every single day on your way there. Then you're like, okay, well, maybe I'm just going to do what everyone else is doing. I'm just going to go to the pool. And I'm just going to do the same thing as everyone is doing and play it safe. It was embedded into them that going for the motion thing, for the potion thing, is not meant for them. It's weird. It's blah, 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 blah. So that's when we go back to changing the conditioning. My biggest advice is actually if you want something and you feel it's aligned, and to always remind yourself, it's meant for me. It's meant for me. All I am meant to do right now is to heal certain things, change certain beliefs, and keep on like finding that why, that hidden advantage, and releasing it. I think the biggest advice, because what happens is people give up and start not, it's the lack of faith, honestly. That is the biggest way to not get there quickly, is to not have faith. The moment you're like, I don't care, I feel it in my sense of knowing, going, I know. I may not believe it right now because everyone is telling me some other stuff, because I've been told for the 10 days I was here that it's no fun. I shouldn't be doing this and I should just be here doing the same thing as everyone else. But I know I want to do this. And if you keep on every day, which is going back to like, what is my manifestation process, every day aligning yourself to that, how it feels like to be an entrepreneur, and reminding, because it's not about manifesting. To me, it's a process of remembering. It's really a process of remembering. Remember who you are at a soul level before you came to Aruba, when you were planning, and when you can go back to this place and it feels still and it feels peaceful, and you're like, oh my God, this is so me. This is me. And keeping on culturing that, that's going to become that fuel that, instead of kicking and screaming, is going to get you excited at removing any kind of obstacles to get to that class and become that entrepreneur and make that seven, eight, nine figures that you are meant to experience here.
So good. Okay, that actually brings me to a follow-up question. I want to make sure I articulate this properly. I think it's very common for us to get conditioned that we don't, quote unquote, need something. It's like, oh, do you want that or do you need that? I heard that a lot growing up. And it's like, oh, well, you don't actually need that. So then you start thinking, oh, yeah, I don't need it. So then you let the desire go, right? So when we think about big goals, like let's talk about big amounts of money. Let's say like manifesting and or aligning with becoming a billionaire. Let's just go there, right? And there's a lot of conditioning around, oh, well, you don't need that much money. No one needs that much money, right? What advice would you give to someone who is focusing on manifesting, quote unquote, more? What's the difference between a need and a desire, and how can you let go of the hidden advantage of maybe keeping yourself safe around the difference between wanting something and needing something, and making the desire feel safe? Because yeah, maybe no one technically needs, I don't know, this is me just speaking of conditioning. Maybe no one needs $1 billion, but someone wants to be a billionaire. How do you work over that conditioning?
So this is an excellent question. And actually, this consciousness I'm going to say next is very recent. This just happened in a session with someone like a few months ago. And I realized that this need, this word of need, is what's actually blocking a lot of people in. Because I'll tell you why. You actually want to believe and change the meaning of the word need, that you do need $1 million, because the earth, nature doesn't work in surplus. It doesn't give you more than you need in anything. If you are planting a tree, it's going to give it exactly the right amount of sun, the exact amount of water. Otherwise, it would flood. Otherwise, the plant would die. So we would never, nature doesn't work. Like, a plant's going to go, well, I want more water. And like, well, you don't need it. And it's going to end up flooding you. So almost I want to shift the meaning of need. If you have a desire to be a gorgeous open like a rose, you do need that much sun. You do need that much water. And if you have a desire in you to be a billionaire, you do need that $1 billion. Your little mind right now doesn't know why. It doesn't. But when you will get it will make sense. Maybe you are meant, I'm going to use an example. Maybe you are meant to have that much help at home. Like sometimes, like when we were discussing this with my husband, he's like, "Do you need that much help?" And I actually was like, I at first I'm like, well, it would be nice, but like, do I really need it? And then there's so many things I could already do. And then I learned about human design. I'm a projector. I need to be doing as little things as humanly possible. I should only be doing to be able to guide, to be able to be that lighthouse. I need to only be doing the things that inspire me and light me up. Because I have a lot at stake. I have people like you at stake that are working with millions of people. Like I have millions of people depending on my energy level like that. So no, if I don't want to do grocery shopping, I won't. I need that help. I need six people helping me every day if I want to, because I need it. If I feel pulled to it because I need it. You don't know why you need $1 billion. If you have a desire, trust, shift it to I need it. There is no ifs or buts. It's not a luxury. It's not being spoiled. It's not being bratty. I need $1 billion. My soul knows better than my 30 years old brain, my 40 years old brain that thinks like, oh, well, what would you do with that much money? You don't know that. Your soul knows what you need in order to reach your full potential. So I actually want you to shift that from just, and I mean, not just want, but a need. It is that important for me. Me being happy, me being in that state of pleasure and flow and not being in a state of faith. Have faith that you desire that $1 billion because you actually do need it. And that's how you shift. That's how you, I found it makes it, the universe is like, oh, okay, she needs it. We need to bring it to her. She needs it. The same thing as like a parent. If my child needs something, I'm going to be much quicker to get it to him. If he just wants it, like, oh, well, he can wait a couple of days. It's fine. Like whenever I get to Whole Foods or whatever, I'll buy it for him or like Target or whatever. But if he needed something right now, I will go and do it. So you have to actually shift that you do need that $1 billion for your soul purpose, for your soul happiness, for your own potential and expansion.
That was so good. Which brings me to another thought, and we talk about this all the time, and I actually remember the moment when this shifted in my mind. I think my mind had like a brain orgasm, seizure, or backflip all at once when we talked about the difference between the mind and the soul. And you explained, can you explain to the audience this analogy of where you shared with me of like the mind is the secretary and the soul is the CEO, and how important this is for people to differentiate between their soul knowing and their mind knowing. This is like life-changing.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. This is one of my favorite things, and I piss off a lot of people in the neuroscience department when I talk about this. But so your mind is a data collector, and your mind literally is as old as you are. It starts collecting data from the moment your brain starts developing in utero, and it starts like hearing sounds and hearing things and having experience and responding to the change of cortisol in your body and hormone. So your mind is as old as you are, and its whole job is to avoid pain and seek safety. Avoid pain and seek safety. It's survival based, and it has data of however long you are old. So if you're listening to this and you're in 20s, your mind is in the mid 20s. If you're listening to this and you're in 55, your mind is 55 years old. Your soul and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old. It has collected data from so many lifetimes, from so many ancestral things. It has looked at your family lineage, go through stuff. It has so much data. It has literally like billions of years of data as a soul from the beginning of time, from the source creation. So Who would you trust more information? An adult or a wise old person with all of this data, or literally an infant? This is like, no, I'm not gonna touch this. Like, my youngest was so scared of water. And you're like, no, you're safe. Trust me. I swear to God, you're not gonna drown in a bath, in a baby bath. Like, you're strapped, child. Like, you're not, nothing is gonna happen. But because his little brain is scared of the water, and it will freak out, and it will create all of these stories again from his little baby brain. And here I am, the adult, being like, I'm a doctor. I know that you are gonna be, doesn't even need to be a doctor, you just need to be like common sense. But his mind doesn't have that common sense because he's too young. So the same thing, you don't want to put things at stake from a baby brain, even if you're 89 years old, compared to the billions of years of wisdom and knowledge that your soul has. You want to leave the important decisions of where the company is going, where we should be projecting, what we should be going after, to the CEO. And the secretary job is very important. It's just to apply it, just to apply it. So the mind is there to help you with the everyday. It's not decision maker. It's to help you, like, well, how is that going to look like? So you go to your CEO and you're like, okay, CEO has this idea, and talk to a department. He's like, okay, this is my idea, how it's going to look like. And the marketing is like, okay, I know what to do. I know about marketing. I know about what to do in this department. Your mind knows what to do in today's departments, how to use TikTok or Instagram or podcast, whatever. It knows how to put them into place as a fit. It's an action oriented. It's not a decision oriented. It's not the mastermind. It's the master soul. You want your soul to be behind the decision making because it has more data. It knows more. It has the big picture that the secretary of the marketing department is above their pay grade. They did not get that information. All they are being told is, we are launching a campaign. I feel the need to launch a campaign about X, Y, and Z. Their job is not to be like, but why? Oh my God, I saw that happening in Audi, and they did horrible, and blah, 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 blah. I said, that's not what I pay you for. I pay you for to go put the marketing part of it. Same thing for your mind. That's not what it's here for. And our minds are so exhausted and feel like so burnt out from overworking above their pay grade. They are actually, once you switch that, the mind is so happy to check out. You're like, I'll be in the back. Need me? Call me when you need me. And that's what we want. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And my second question, very Marley of me, is when we notice that we're very caught up in our mind, what is your favorite tool to tap into the soul to get the answer from your soul?
Oh, disconnect from the mind. And whatever helps you do that, dance, meditate, go for a walk, go for a swim. It's basically disconnect from the mind. Allow the mind to quiet down and go into the soul. One of my absolutely best practice in human, there's a Jenna Zoe, who is a human design, and she has a human design website. And if you go into her website, the profile of human design, she will give you names. Like, she will give you a title. A lot of people would use, like, so I'm a 4-6, for example. And 4-6 is the opportunistic role model. I always hated that name. I was like, oh my God, I don't like it. I don't resonate with it. One day I was in her website, and it called it the regal role model. And I so resonate with the word regal, like, so resonate with it. Every single time I'm meditating, I just have this idea of, like, or this image of, like, a goddess with a crown and my empire. Like, oh, so every single time my brain starts talking, I have to drop back into the big picture. I'm like, thank you very much, but I'm gonna go on a walk or dance or move my body and remember the regal role model that I am. And whatever that imagery for me, like, imagery, like, one of the images that came back, used to come back a lot in my meditation, is being on top of, like, being in my castle, palace, whatever, and actually looking over, like my being that sovereign and looking at all of these things. And I could feel the weight of my regalia. I could feel, and that's what I would do. I would go back into this feeling of the big picture, what I call the big picture that the soul is. Everyone knows at the soul level who they are. If they are listening to you, if they are patients of you, if they are in this realm, they know at some level what is what they want to be. So align, be in that image to what you want to be, to quiet any static and anything else that's not you, which is the mind. If you want to be listening to Taylor Swift, you want to tune in into Taylor Swift. You can't be going back and forth from country music to Taylor Swift and like keep on changing the radio stations, being like, well, let's see what the other radio station has to say. Let's see. No. You go into the radio station and you don't act like you have FOMO, and you trust and have faith that it feels good. That's what you want to listen to. It's going to happen. So let me harvest the energy of that, because at the end of the day, mind included, your physical body is 0.00000001% of who you are. 99.999999999999 is energy. This is an empty room. You're not even real. Your physical body or your mind are nothing, are like 0.901% of the reality. And you're acting like this is the most important thing. No, tap into the energetic, because that is almost 100% of what rules everything. So my rule is, when your mind starts talking, go back into your body, go into your body, because that is the fastest way, quite honestly, to go into to unplug, dance, move, do a meditation with a body scan, put lotion into your body, drop into your body. And then once you drop into your body, start feeling, remembering, tune it back to your true vibration. What happens a lot of people is when they go from the mind, they want to go to meditation. And I shared how my silent meditation used to drive me crazy, because my mind was like, ooh, she's still, I have so much to say. And I'll be like, no. So one, if you're new to this, and meditation can sometimes be like the perfect occasion for your mind to be like, ooh, it's just you and I. Exactly. Dropping to your body, doing some movement, going for a walk, listening to something that helps you tune back into your vibration, affirmation, whatever it is. So many things in Marley's app are and will help you with that. So tuning and plugging and tuning in into the vibration of, not even the vibration of who you are, what you truly are. Again, remember that percentage. When you freak out, remember that you are just floating. It's not even real. None of this is real. This is the simulation. And what you know is true. That image of me as with my regalia, with my thing, is the real thing. And my version of here sitting in my desk right now talking to you at 10 a.m., that is the simulation version. This is just the 3D version, which is the smallest percentage of what I'm made of.
It almost feels like you create an identity around your soul, and then you, with that identity, you, it's easier to connect to that identity.
Correct. And it's not even about creating, it's remembering the identity of who you are. That's why I am very like, it's not about creating, it's not about fake it, it's not about fake it until you make it. It's no. It's who you are. It's who you, literally who you are. It's not, it's more real. I'm going back to this. It's like literally more real than your ID, than your passport, than your name on your passport, than your profession, your passport, than any diplomas I've ever had. That is more real. This is more me than any 3D identity that I have formed over the last 35 years here on Earth. So it's not about creating, it's about literally my soul be like, hey, snap out of it and look at me, type of thing.
Oh, I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. I mean, I do, but we're gonna have to have you on for a part two because I have so many more questions, but I don't want to take up too much of your time. Thank you so much for your energy and for your wisdom. I have notes and beyond notes, and I didn't even want to make as many notes because I didn't want to make sound. I'm gonna re-listen to this like 17 times, and I know everyone listening is gonna be like mind blown. So thank you from the bottom of my heart and everyone else listening. Where can everyone find you? How can everyone work with you? Pimp yourself out. I'm gonna leave everything below, but share with us what's the best way to work with you, reach out to you, tell us all the things.
Oh, I mean, Instagram. So literally Dr. Taggy, my Instagram is where you find a lot of things that I share, things that pop into my head. And Marley knows this and probably as a business coach may be thinking, oh my God, I only share things that pop into my head, like literally, like I don't plan anything. So you can kind of know what's going through my life. But everything that I've shared, literally everything in my journey is what I created the Goddess Activation around. So everything in the Goddess Activation is a 6-month program that is now 6 modules. We're adding 3 more modules, but all of it is about the energetic, physical. We go through what I call debunk the beliefs, which is the 9 steps I talked about earlier in how to find if you feel stuck, how to find what is the hidden advantage, how you find the beliefs behind it, how you find the disadvantages of it. But most importantly, I work so much on that soul, releasing all of the energy behind it. So yes, I help you understand it every time, every single time. Every module has me talking to you, the mind part of it, but then there is the soul part of it, the emotional part of it, and the physical part of it. And it's that program is everything I did personally to get what I am. And even for people who don't work, who work on one-on-one with me, Marnie can attest to that. Like I would put her into those meditation. I would send her to those things because it is part, is the building block for me of everything that I believe in and that I'm believe I'm here in Aruba slash Earth to share and spread. So yeah, the goddess activation is definitely what it's at.
Guys, I know I said it before, but I'm gonna say it again. Out of every healer, everyone I've worked with, Dr. Tiggy has transformed every area of my life in the most way. So please run, follow, join everything if you want to change your life in the most profound way. Dr. Tiggy, thank you so much for being here. That was so good. I actually was using my mind to find out what we were going to talk about today. And then I tapped into my soul, and my soul just knew. She was like, don't plan too much because this is just going to allow it just to be. And this was even more than I could ever imagine. So thank you so much. We're going to leave all those details below. Thank you so much for everyone tuning in, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye. Hey. Before you go, would you love a free money hypnosis? You guys, this is what I listen to every single night to rewire my subconscious mind so I can manifest the money that I desire. It is absolutely game changing. If you've heard me talk anything about subconscious mind and anything along the realms of healing your subconscious mind to help align you and attract money into your life, hypnotherapy is the way. It actually heals and rewires your subconscious mind to make it believe and truly allow it to believe that you deserve the money that you desire. So, if you want this free money hypnosis, all you have to do is leave us a review, honest review, how you're feeling about the show, take a screenshot right away, and then send it to hello@marleyrose.ca, and we will send you this free hypnosis. You guys, it's gonna be absolutely game changing. It's how all my clients have manifested all of their massive goals in their business and in their life. Okay, thanks so much, you guys. I hope it's a great tool for you to use in manifesting all the money that you desire. Lots of love. Mwah.